107 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here. Phone number, text line open for you at 343-0106. We'll do some debate recap here in just a little bit. Also, we'll talk about how you can get it in podcast form and check it out if you missed it last night. But a big thank you to a lot of y'all packing out the J.C. Davis Auditorium in Chickasaw in person, and so many people online and on air and on TV watching and listening. So we'll get into that. Also, I want to say welcome back to my buddy Dr. Joe Fontenot and a new friend, Dr. Nina Kemmerly, in studio this morning to talk about our eyes and talk about diabetes awareness. Thanks for being here. I'm going to get you all close to the mics. And first of all, thanks for being here. And diabetes is, give me the right, this month, November, is diabetes what?
Diabetes Awareness Month.
Okay.
Publicized mostly by the American Diabetes Association and the Ophthalmology Association, trying to bring awareness to the disease and what can be done for it.
That's why we have endocrinologists here and ophthalmologists here.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so because these two things are linked. These, while there are two specialties here, one is a cause of another issue.
Yes, diabetes is one of the major causes of blindness and vision loss, and about 15% of Americans have diabetes. So it's a very common problem, and there's lots that can be done about it if you're aware of it.
But this is one, I'll use myself as a test case. So a lot of diabetes in my family, and but I am at an age here, my vision's been declining pretty quickly, but I'm 47. So, you know, the cheater glasses and the whole nine been going into that. But I do, riding down the road, worry, is this a is diabetes coming on? What, I mean, what do people look for if they're trying to assess just if my vision's getting a little blurry? Is that reason enough to come in and get checked?
Diabetes presents in several ways. It's a glucose metabolism disorder. And when the glucose rises, the most common symptoms are thirst, increased urination, weight loss, sometimes infections. So those are the things that most commonly present. The eye manifestations can come at any point of the disease process in type 2 and doesn't usually present for 3 to 5 years along or after you've had type 1 diabetes. What we do recommend, as soon as you've been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, is start screening. You should have either a dilated eye exam or a photo of your retina every year. And if you develop type 1 diabetes, you should come in after 3 to 5 years and start yearly eye exams.
Let's go to the eye part of this. Dr. Fontenot, what damage does it do to the eye, and how does that happen?
The damage caused by diabetes is basically a change in the blood vessels in the retina, which is the back part of the eye that actually senses the light, the images coming in. And it can be seen relatively easy. So the most important thing is to see an eye doctor, as Dr. Kimmerly has already said. Everybody should have an eye exam anyway at age 40.
Okay.
And that's partly because of diabetes, partly because of glaucoma and other eye diseases like that. Now, once you, like yourself, there's a lot of diabetes in your family. So I'm sure you, as you said, have already had multiple eye exams. And you should continue to do that on a yearly basis if you have diabetes. If diabetes eye problems are diagnosed early, they can be relatively effectively treated. If you wait until you've been half blind for 2 to 3 years, you have changes that are irreversible. And so it's too late to do anything. So that's the main thing we're here to urge, is that people be aware that if there's diabetes in their family, if they've been diagnosed as having even mild diabetes, they should have a yearly eye exam.
And by the same point, if you have a family history of diabetes and start developing some of the symptoms I mentioned earlier, you should definitely go to your physician, get your glucose checked, and find out if you have diabetes, because all the complications of diabetes are prevented by good control. Blood pressure and sugar control prevents not completely, but slows down and decreases the rate of development of eye disease, kidney disease, heart disease. So it's very, very important to be diagnosed early, get your disease under control to prevent from having serious problems later on.
All right, because you're saying that these eye issues, if they get to a certain point, they're not going to be able to be reversed. But if people have an early diagnosis, you can mitigate that?
There are a lot of good treatments early on that can prevent further any vision loss in the future, and often that's the case. If you get in and treat it early, you can get laser therapy. Sometimes injections and even surgeries can save or prevent vision loss. But once it gets to a certain point, there's less they can do. So, and it's the same thing for the other problems that we see with diabetes, really. So it's important to do regular screening, go to your doctor regularly, and control your disease state.
Now, will people who go into their physician, a GP, will they be tested? I mean, will that physician see through the testing that they have prediabetes or diabetes, or do they have to come in and say, I want to be tested for diabetes?
It's pretty routine to do a glucose level when you go to the doctor.
Okay.
There are certain parameters that are set that physicians should know and are aware of when the blood sugar is abnormal, and it can be diagnosed early and start treatment. But it is very important not only to go to the doctor, but also get your eye exams.
All right. Well, and available here locally, resources. I mean, what if somebody doesn't? I mean, I know y'all are going to look at me here as physicians go, come on, Sean. But if somebody doesn't already have a physician, I mean, they're starting from zero here.
Okay. There are a lot of health screening that you can go to that are publicized. So one is put on by Mobile Infirmary, has a health screening fair.
Okay.
A lot of times your employer will do health screening or even require health screening for your insurance, for your health insurance. So these are ways that if you aren't going to a doctor, you can very possibly do a screening and know if you're starting to develop a problem. I would also say that probably most people should see a doctor once a year, hopefully.
Well, no, but it's tough though, because from the just scheduling and all that, it's once you get in a habit and you get somebody, that's good, but it's hard to start that habit.
Yes, I agree totally. It takes an effort on both sides.
That's why we're here, to try and urge that people do that. The other thing I would like to say is that if you do develop vision loss, there's a lot of things that can be done. That's what we in our particular office do at Community Services for Vision Rehabilitation. We have all sorts of glasses, magnifiers, electronic devices, computer magnification, training, and a myriad of things that can be done.
For somebody who may already
right.
have this vision loss.
Right. Somebody that might already have it.
Okay.
And again, with that, the earlier the better.
Sure. If somebody's listening to us right now, maybe it's not them. Maybe it's a family member that they say, you know, the stuff that Dr. Kimberly and Dr. Fontenot were talking about, I recognize that in this relative or that relative. Is there a place they can go to? You're talking about what y'all do with the services here. They just come in and you assess. I mean, how do you do? You assess the amount of loss and then you recommend. What do you do?
Right. Basically, that's it. We check them thoroughly from an optometric standpoint and see what their vision is like, how well they can see, how poorly they can see. And then we treat them appropriately with aids, devices, and training. And also there's some psychological factors, too. People who are losing their vision, they get depressed, they don't understand what's going on, so we try and provide them education and hope that they will be able to continue on, which they should be able to do. So,
well, how do people find out? How do people find out, like an address, a contact area on the web? How
they can always call us at 476-4744. They can look us up on the web, which is www.csvrlowvision.org.
Okay. And we'll put these links up as so people can get them.
I'll just comment, they do help a lot of individuals become functional, and that's the goal. If you have vision loss, you may need some help to be able to do your daily activities.
And continue to work,
do your daily activities, and progress with your life. And that's really important once you start to lose your vision, is to be able to have help so you don't feel like you can't do anything. And there is help out there, and that's the point.
There is help available, yes.
I would also say, in diabetes, with any of the complications of diabetes, prevention is just very important, and that's mainly by controlling your blood sugar and keeping your blood pressure controlled.
Well said. Things that we all need to take to heart. Dr. Kimberly, Dr. Fontenot, thank you for your time. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for what you're doing for the community. All right.
Thank you.
Coming right back, more of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5, and we have this information. If you're riding down the road and couldn't get it written down, I understand these things. We'll have the information here for the website and the phone number if you want some contact there on that. 818 FM Talk 106.5. Everybody, Jeff Poore is going to join us when we come back. Talk a bit about what happened last night in the AL1 Republican debate. Also, some Senate politics in the mix as well. Y'all stay close. And Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Like we've been talking about, the countdown to Thanksgiving is here as we approach the start. I will argue that you're in the holidays pretty much from Halloween on, but officially, big time, Super Bowl holidays, Thanksgiving through Christmas. And right now is probably the best time to tell you about what we've been enjoying for the last couple months at our house, and that is clean from the maids. The maids have, for a while here, been tasked with cleaning the house we're moving into and the house we're moving out of, and they've been making our lives very, very easy. You can call and get a free estimate now at 344-6626, 344-6626 with the maids. Get that free estimate and give the gift of clean and the gift of time this holiday season. Think about it. Make it more best than normal as you get decorations out, put stuff up, wrapping presents, kids coming in and out of the house, the whole nine yards. House is getting messier than normal, and you've got the added pressure of people coming by your house. Maybe you're like Dalton, hosting Thanksgiving dinner, or maybe you've got the Christmas party at your house. Whatever it is, you need some more time to enjoy the holidays, and you do that when you have the maids give you the gift of clean. And get that free estimate right now. See what they can do for you. The phone number, 344-6626. 344-6626. They'll set up a time, meet you, take a look at the house, and quote you a price. So get that free estimate now at 344-6626 for the maids. All right, the gang's most of the gang from last night's here in the studio, and that's good, as our buddy Jeff Poore from Lanyap and Breitbart and Yellowhammer News and the Jeff Poore Show on WVNN is hanging out here in AL1, even though he does his radio show in AL5. But you're getting to do a show from the battleship, so that's cool.
I do something that resembles a radio show.
I think it quite well resembles a radio show. You have a Rolodex that makes most of us in talk radio very, very jealous, so it's good stuff. Good stuff. I do want to talk about this. Last night, we watched the first of the debates here going forward for the Republican candidates, and arguably, with the exception of something that I can't see on the horizon, one of the people that was on stage last night will be the congressman from AL1.
Yes.
Okay. So we watched that. There wasn't fighting that much between candidates. We had a system set up, and when I rolled out the rules, we had a 30-second rebuttal that somebody could do, and I think we only used that one time last night.
Yeah, they didn't go over it. Here's the thing, and these candidates are, it doesn't matter what they're running for, Congress or whatever, there is a little apprehension about getting in one of these debate formats. Now, it's good for AL1 because we don't really know who the real true number one front runner is.
Right.
Senate race, not seeing that at all. But if you just use what happened last night as a model, what are you afraid of? You know, it's not, I think people, the perception is a political debate is going to be like what they see happening on TV with the Democrats. But when you get down to a more local level, especially in a primary where most of the candidates are going to agree on everything, then what what's the fear?
Right. It's but you said it to me. You said it right now, and you said it to me last night too. I think this is important. There may be, and we didn't see it last night, but you have seen it in other congressional races. You've seen it in municipal races. That people, whether they realize it or not, watch something like the Democrat debates or even the Republican debates in 2016, and think, okay, well, the way you do this is you attack the other person the whole nine, you know, and you don't have to do that. I mean, if there's a reason to do it, yeah, but when...
And like, there's a cost of doing that. There's a cost of hitting the other person because it's kind of what desperate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you're Donald Trump and you're just punching in all directions.
Right.
You know, if you start going after one person, it signals weakness, I think, because you're having to throw these haymakers to catch up with the rest of the pack.
Okay. Some of the, you know, we ask questions, of course, about key issues that are breaks for conservatives and liberals in our country last night. But when it boils down to it, when you look at AL1, kind of the thing I want to get into is things like bridge funding, things like the port, you know, things like Austell, economic incentives. Question about how do you balance, you know, what is a big deal for us, oil and gas, with making sure we don't have another BP oil spill. Those are kind of hometown, home district items.
But you're a mature adult. A lot of people...
Well, it's arguable, but yes.
A lot of people want to see, let's talk about impeachment. Let's talk about Donald Trump. I mean, there is an element of that. It's just where we are right now, I think, as news consumers. I'm not sure how much that really means votes or not, but I think you need a good mix. I think you need a good mix of the hometown issues,
mm-hmm.
and you need a good mix, especially for a federal office, of kind of what's going on, not just in the United States, but around the world.
Okay, so one of the things too on spending, this is, and we asked this last night. I don't know how you get around this, because you look at the Republicans go, and Republicans from very conservative districts go to Washington talk about fiscal responsibility, and they, you know, to cut taxes, cut the size of government. And then it seems like each time that they're faced with some cromnibus, omnibus, megatron spending bill, they sign off on it because it has funding for AL1, right? Here's funding for military, or right. Here's funding. So because of that, and serving AL1, or, and I say AL1, it could be AL5, it could be any district in the state, it could be any district in any other state, you're voting for something that if you didn't have a dog in the hunt, maybe you would say no because it's deficit spending or whatever. But if you say no, you may not get money for this. I mean, the perfect situation is where you get to vote no and you still get the stuff. But
yeah, well, and that's why in Alabama we don't elect that many ideologues to Congress, to Washington, D.C. You're not electing Milton Friedman, or you're not electing Adam Smith, or you're not electing, name your favorite deficit hawk cutter over history. Senator Richard Shelby.
Mm-hmm. It's the antithesis of...
Yeah, you look at the last 1,500 years of who Alabama has sent to Washington, it's never been the ideological champion. It's always been the guy that knows how to work the chamber, to work the back halls, to work the floor, and get the committee assignments and get what you want in Alabama. And I think that is what the people want. They have said that time and time and time again historically in Alabama. They don't want somebody up there that's going to be necessarily the Rand Paul type or a Ted Cruz. They want somebody that's going to play by the rules, and
but doesn't get you as much camera time.
We arguably have one member of the delegation in Congressman Mo Brooks in the 5th mm-hmm. congressional district, and then he's a guy that that's what the people wanted. But if you talk to some of the other people, kind of at lower levels of government, they'll tell you sometimes it's difficult. They'll have to go to Congressman Adderholt or something when they want money for a pet project or something they need in their hometown, going to another congressman.
Is there any, and we've got just a few seconds here, but maybe hold this thought over, is there any kind of mechanism like that where the firebrand from a congressional district talks to the non-firebrand and says, okay, listen, I'm going to lead on this thing that's going to take arrows for. Can you help me here?
I think that's Sush and Shelby. That was Sush and Shelby's game for 20 years.
Interesting take. We'll talk more about that with Jeff Poore when we return. Grab your calls, too, at 343-0106.
837 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Friday. Congratulations, made it to Friday. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. Good Friday morning to you, buddy.
Hey, same to you. You know, everyone's got a busy week next week with Thanksgiving on Thursday. Of course, the busiest shopping day of the year follows. So why not get a head start on Black Friday shopping? Tell us what's going on at McConnell.
Yeah, Dalton, we are talking to somebody out there listening right now that does not want to hassle with next Friday, Black Friday. But, you know, what we've done at McConnell is we started Black Friday early. So it's Friday. We might as well do it now. And somebody out there would like to pay 0% interest, let's say on a truck or the Yukon. We've got that, Dalton. We've got these huge discounts, man, on our website. And if anybody listening has had a really bad experience shopping for a car anytime, give McConnell a shot, because, Dalton, you know what they're going to find is anything they see on our website, those prices are unbelievable, the lowest on the Gulf Coast, but we honor them, and we give people more for the trade-in. We make things easy, and right now we got 25% discounts off some of our vehicles. It's just insane. These deals are the best of the year, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Mitch.
Y'all have a blessed Friday.
That's Mitch McConnell. Check out McConnell Automotive online at McConnellAutomotive.com or go see the crew in person on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
Right, 8:38 and Mobile Mornings. Our buddy Jeff Poore in the studio with us. Hey, one of our texters suggested you do the show from the top of one of the rockets in Huntsville. You and I are kind of talking about that yesterday. Is there, where up there, is there a, can you get in the rocket? Is there a, that would
That's
be a cool
question.
Place to do a radio show.
I know you could go to the Space and Rocket Center. There's events there all the time. That would be a cool place.
I want to do the flip side. So I want to come up there and do a show from inside a rocket. You come down here, do the battleship. I go up there, do a rocket.
I need to do more research on that. The thing about doing remotes in Huntsville is I have a studio, so
right.
It's not like, you know, one of those things where I venture out past the lovely confines of Athens, Alabama.
Right, but for me, it's an adventure. I can come up there. Although I can come up there, it'd be an adventure to come up and do it.
I will get back to you on
place.
That. Where's some cool places to do it in the Rocket City? I assume y'all, being a Mobile show, probably don't want to do it at the new home of the Rocket City trash pan.
No, I'm not going to the trash pan. I'm not going to
I was going to ask you that, because you did it from the stadium, right? How are our old friends doing?
Well, the saves I've done, I have not done the show yet. I think Dale's tried, but has ran some technical hiccups. But see, the stadium's not finished, but I think they're gonna have everything done on that in January, and then, you know, it's gonna. They're trying to model it after what they did in Atlanta with SunTrust Park, a little development around it, and the apartments are already up, and it's different than the Hank, a lot different. I think that was the vision for the Hank Aaron Stadium,
right?
It just never came together.
But it has to be almost, because you talk to people that know this stuff in minor league ball, too, and they always say, we basically have to have an entertainment venue that has a place
right.
for baseball. Because, I mean, just look at the reality that it was the Madison Stars, right? Huntsville Stars.
Huntsville Stars.
That became the Shuckers,
mm-hmm.
right, in Biloxi. And now it's the Bay Bears close down, leave, and become the Trash Pandas back at home. It's like this is a round robin kind of thing.
It happens. I mean, you know, you don't have legacy minor league baseball teams unless it's like the Birmingham Barons.
Right.
They've been around forever. But, you know, even the Biscuits are relatively new in Montgomery. It's just kind of ebbs and flows.
It's just funny when you see the actual. You wonder if eventually in my lifetime, will the franchise that has left make a full circle and come back as something else, back to the same city?
I am. I'll say this. I think minor league baseball will be back in Mobile within 10 years.
And we got some trends, maybe this Atlantic League stuff. But we were talking about that yesterday. Grab some calls here too at 343-0106. Talking about last night's AL1 Republican debate. And let's go to James the Engineer up first. Hey, James.
Hey, Sean. How y'all doing today? I want to say that, you know, y'all been this year really involved in the community, and that was just awesome last night. I listened to it.
Thanks.
You know, I want to thank you once again, like, for the veterans parade downtown and the battleship. You guys are just on spot. And what I do want to give you is a thank you and wish Kelly, Sean, Dalton a great Thanksgiving and a good Christmas to come.
Hey, and back,
James.
And back to you, James. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Y'all are very involved. I mean, me and you and the communication we had on the subject, me and you both have, you know, look at daily. It's just really awesome. Y'all really with the community, and I think that's really great. And once again, that was awesome. That was awesome.
James, those are kind words, man. Thank you, and I really appreciate it, and have a fantastic Thanksgiving and Christmas season to come. We talk about where, by default, I mean, we make conscious decisions to do things in the community, but we are a locally owned radio station. This is our home office, is right here. I mean, there's no home office somewhere else. It's all right here in Mobile. This mm-hmm. is all of us live here. All of our contest yesterday, you know, the almost $9,000 worth of goodies in the Go Play Outside. All our participating sponsors, all local companies, our winners in our contest are all local folks because it's a local radio station. So it's good. It's some of it's by default, some of it's by design, but we appreciate you noticing.
Yeah, and cool seeing James out there at the Veterans Day Parade along with so many other people that came up to us. And James, man, he's got a cool motorcycle he's added so many custom parts onto. He was showing us that. And then also last night we saw some listeners at the debate, and I think that went really well, and it was cool seeing so many people out there.
Gotta figure out what we're doing next. One of our locals saying that, just this is running on the Twitter feed, on my Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5, and because I still get people putting things in. These are products, not services. Not that I'm anti-service, but each year I do my locals only Christmas list, mm-hmm. getting like cool things that are and you can stretch a little bit outside of Alabama. You can go Northwest Florida, Southeast Mississippi, and throughout the state of Alabama. The things that are either the gift item is specific to us, or it's made around here, or has a local connection. People have asked about services or great people. Those things are great, but what I'm doing are things that can be under a Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. Local. So you hit me up on the Twitter feed, and I compile that list, and probably first week in December, second week in December, I'll roll that out and kind of give you directions to go buy different items, and we'll talk about the different things on the list like we do each year.
Yeah, right now we're in the pre-qualifying phase, kind of mm-hmm. like the election season.
And that don't forget, too, yes, we will also have the Alabama of the Year stuff coming up next month.
Mm.
We got to start working on those brackets.
Yeah, that's going to be important.
All right, you know, we talked AL1, but you mentioned, Jeff, the Senate race, and 8 Republicans in the mix there. And it's just like even more than AL1. What they're doing is they're heading to a runoff. The question is, who's going to be at the runoff?
Yeah, I think so. Right now, you probably have to think you got the front runners.
You talk about the air campaign and the carpet bombing and all that. So let's look at war chest for a second, okay? You've got Jeff Sessions and Bradley Byrne leading the war chest, I think, right?
Yeah, Doug Jones don't.
Yeah, I'm in the general sense, just, yeah, Doug Jones, yeah. So
I wonder if he's going to try to get up on air while the Republicans are going in motion. And I think that would have it, you know, does he start putting ads out while Tuberville and Sessions are going at it?
You think he would.
Yeah, so I think that becomes a component that the Republicans need to take into account.
Okay, so you've got that big war chest for Doug Jones. You have Jeff Sessions, Bradley Byrne. I mean, Tuberville's got money, maybe not at the level of the other, you know, those three.
If you crack $1 million, you're a force to be reckoned with, I think.
What do you think the, because each time we say, okay, this is unprecedented spending in this election, whatever it is. I mean, remember the Senate special, and we just sat there as the money poured in and went, holy cow, it's getting more and more and more. I think they do that again this year at a regular.
I don't know if we see 2017 levels.
You don't.
Because 2017 was such a national election with everybody watching and everybody sending in money because they didn't have anywhere else to send in money. I don't know that.
Interesting.
I don't know that we see that.
That's something I didn't take into account. That,
and you had the presidential election, which will be sucking up a lot of that money for that. I mean, the way this works is.
But the money knows that in the primary setting,
right,
the decision is made. It's President Trump for the Republicans. So in primary action, the action's down ticket, right? I mean, if you're going to try to.
Yes, in primary action, but there's only a set amount of money out there, let's just say. And are you leaving on the sidelines waiting for the general election? Are you going to go, you know, are you going to go get involved in Senate and House races? That's always been kind of the dilemma. It's a fascinating thing to watch. You can watch, and this happened in the 2018 cycle, the midterms. You see in inter-party fighting for the money. You'll mm-hmm. see Mitch McConnell say, hey, put the money in keeping the Senate. The House is lost. I mean, you'll have these kind of whisper campaigns going around Washington where it's Republicans on Republicans.
Because Mitch McConnell was pretty present in that 2017 special with Senate Leadership Fund coming in big time.
He's president in every Senate election.
But it was big. It was really big.
And I suspect he'll have some kind of role in this Sessions thing.
So will he, because I know Club for Growth has talked about their backing of Sessions.
Right.
Does, you understand Washington at a level that I do not.
Is, well, here's the thing
Club
about
for
the
Growth and Senate Leadership Fund, can they be behind the same candidate, or do they buck each
Absolutely,
other?
Absolutely. Okay. But I would say this about the Club for Growth. They've cautioned me that they haven't gone four sessions yet. Just it's anybody but Bradley, which is a really, really strange thing going on there with Bradley Byrne.
So Club for Growth is anybody but?
Anybody but Bradley. And that's why they got behind Sessions, because there was this fear that Bradley Byrne, I guess, could sneak his way in, and they needed somebody they believed in that could beat him.
All right. We'll talk about more on that when we come back. Plus, you know, we've got, even before the primary here in Alabama, we've got Sessions starting in Montgomery. Prisons and lotto, and well, they don't have to do gas taxes here because that already has a kick in every 2 years. They don't have to do that, but what'll be happening up in Montgomery? We'll talk about that more with Jeff Poore. We come back and also get your calls 343-0106. Thank you, Kane. 853 FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. By the way, too, we mixed up the schedule last night with the congressional debate. Our buddy Doug Holton did Tiger Talk overtime at 8 instead of 7, and we moved Tiger Talk to tonight.
Mm-hmm. Tonight at 7 o'clock, Tiger Talk leading into that game against Samford tomorrow morning. And then next week, because of Thanksgiving, an additional schedule change. Tiger Talk's going early in the week because, you know,
Thanksgiving.
Can't expect them to work on Thanksgiving.
No.
So they will air where Sports Night normally airs, Monday night at 6 p.m. And that means I've been relegated to Thursday night. Thanksgiving night, we'll do Sports Night at 6.
A special day.
A very special day.
It's Thanksgiving edition.
It's going to be me gnawing on a turkey bone for an hour.
It's going to be good.
It's an excuse to get out of the house.
Yeah, that is a good excuse, and then I'll go to the bar afterwards.
There you go. They're listening.
Dang it.
But yeah, so that is tonight. And I can't wait for, hey, listen, I know at some point there'll be something where Coach Malzahn goes, I'm not overlooking Samford.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Samford, listen, they have this player. It always cracks me up, and Saban does it too. They'll pick a player from the Patsy team, the cupcake team, and they'll be like, this kid is really, you know, like, come on. Yeah. Then why didn't you recruit him if they're like the best person ever, you know?
You might be looking at their 1-35 overall record, but what I'm seeing is a defense that can really stop you once a game, something like that.
That'll happen tonight at 7 o'clock here at FM Talk 106.5. Our buddy Jeff Poore in studio with us as well. We grab a quick call here. Gilbert is in Mobile. Hey, Gilbert.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, man. So what's up?
Listen, I apologize. I just got to tune in late, and I'm sure y'all have talked about the debate earlier in the show.
A little bit.
But I just had a couple of comments I wanted to make about it. First off, I wanted to compliment you and Pete and Roseanne as moderators. I felt like y'all did a great job and kept things moving and had a wide diversity of questions.
Thank you.
And I also want to compliment the panel that I thought it bode well of them, showed their integrity. They stayed on task. They answered the questions. There wasn't any mudslinging and finger pointing and things, which was was so nice after the 2016 debates and things and the Democratic debates that we've been listening to over the past year. It helped me to, there was a couple that I didn't know wasn't very familiar with, and I felt like after the debate I was able to kind of put them in a hierarchical range, you know, order of, you know, who I would vote for and possibly who I wouldn't. But
we accomplished our goal. Then
most of them answered a lot of the questions very similarly, but the way they answered it, even in answering the, you know, similar answers, you still got a feel for the individual and their personality and their background, and I just thought y'all did a great job.
Gilbert, thank you. I mean, that's what you're saying is exactly what we wanted to have happen. People be able to come out and and hear the candidates, listen to the candidates, and get an idea to do the ranking. And we talked earlier in the show about just that it was not. But so we had that factor in there. You know, you could have a 30-second rebuttal. I think we used it one time last night. That was it. That was pretty amazing.
Well, I think the national media could learn a valuable lesson from how y'all handled things.
Thank you, Gilbert. That is kind. I appreciate that. Appreciate your call. Appreciate you being part of that debate with last night. And by the way, if you did not catch it, it's up on our podcast page now. We're going to give you a chance to listen to it during the midday show as well today. So that's coming up. And you can go to the podcast page, get it a la carte. Plus, it soon will populate on iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify and TuneIn Radio.
And what we're going to do here, and you can look forward over the next, hopefully it'll be up today, but Sean interviewed each of the five candidates over the last week and a half. So we're going to put each of those interviews up and the debate on the same page, and that'll eventually, hopefully, again, in the next few hours, that'll be located at the top of our website front page.
All right, and we ran out of time, but that means coming up on Wednesday, if not before, I'm going to be asking our buddy Jeff Poore about session coming up this year, where Lotto figures into this, where prisons figure into this. Do we get a special session?
Yes, for prisons.
Okay.
You got to do it.
Listen, I know you say it's November. Y'all, session's going to be here soon, and we're going to be talking. They're doing the work right now for what they're going to be discussing coming up in Montgomery. All right, we're out of here. Mike Gallagher on the way next. Be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. And, yeah, we'll get you the debate from last night if you missed it. So that's coming up. Y'all stay close.